Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Ezekiel, beginning at the beginning of the second chapter. Hear these words of God. When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of someone speaking. He said to me, "O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. They shall know that there has been a prophet among them." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, would you pray for me that God may speak through my words this morning? And I'll pray for you that God might open your ears to hear. Let us pray. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. So our passage today starts with a response to something that has just happened, when I saw it. So if we look back to the beginning of chapter 1, we find that Ezekiel is among the exiles by the river Kibar. That is, he was in Babylon. So why is this important? It'll be helpful for us to start with a little bit of history to see how Ezekiel's story today fits into the larger story of Israel. So buckle your seatbelts, because we're going to cover about 600 years in 2 or 3 minutes. So we're going to get the very high view of this history. We'll start, the Hebrew people are slaves in Egypt. God speaks to Moses through a burning bush. Perhaps you've heard that story. And so then Moses goes into Egypt. He gets his people, brings them out of Egypt. They wander around the desert for a generation or so, about 40 years, and they come to Sinai, where God speaks to Moses on a mountain, and God gives a covenant to God's people. But of course, throughout the desert, God's people had been unfaithful, so it is after the first generation dies off that they cross over the river Jordan, the Jordan River, into the Promised Land, the land of Cana, under Joshua's leadership now. They conquer the land, and the 12 tribes of Israel establish their home in this land. So there's a period of peace, and the Israelite people are ruled for a period by a series of judges. But then they start clamoring for a king, because all of the nations around them have kings, and so they need a king. So then we get the establishment of the monarchy in Israel with King Saul, and then King David, and then King Solomon, who at a high point in Israel's history builds the temple of God in Jerusalem. So we get through a whopping 3 kingships before the kingdom of Israel divides. And so then we get split into 2 kingdoms. There's the northern kingdom of Israel that has 10 of the original 12 tribes, and a southern kingdom of Judah with the remaining 2 tribes. There's a succession of kings, some of whom are remembered for their faithfulness, but most of them are remembered for their unfaithfulness. And throughout that time, you know, as nations are wont to do, they make treaties with other nations, and then they subsequently break treaties with other nations, trying to keep themselves safe depending on what other nation around them seems to be the most powerful. So we get to year 722 BC, and the northern kingdom of Israel is invaded by the powerful Assyrian Empire. They destroy the kingdom of Israel. They carry off people either away into exile, or some people flee as refugees into the southern kingdom of Judah. Fast forward another 125 years, and now it's year 597. Babylon is the force to be reckoned with in the region, and they have tuned their sights on Judah and Jerusalem. They lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. They strip the temple of its furnishings, and they carry out the upper class of society into exile, up along, you follow that red line, up, or up and around into Babylon. That's where we find Ezekiel. by the river Kibar, the rivers of Babylon. We find him today with the people in exile. So why does that matter? Why am I going through all of this? Is it just that because I can point to things on a map and tell you all this history that now you know that I know what I'm talking about? I would hope that you have standards that are higher than that. But this matters because to really grasp the magnitude of God speaking to Ezekiel in this place of exile, we need to know something of the story to know what was lost when they went into exile. First, they had to face the siege of Jerusalem, and siege warfare is no joke. Cut off from the farmland around the city, the people inside the city walls had no access to food or water. So they were faced with starvation and disease, while they also had to contend with physical and psychological onslaught from the army outside the gates. The people who survived undoubtedly witnessed people they knew and they loved and they cared about die. And then there was the deportation itself. The king and many of the upper echelons of society, the temple priests, that's what Ezekiel was, the scribes, the landowners, were carried off into Babylon, but not everybody went. Life went on in Jerusalem for some, at least, but the exiles were cut off. They no longer had access to the holy city of Jerusalem, to this land that God had promised them, and they were cut off from the temple, which is the real kicker here. It was practically impossible for us to really know what the temple meant to the Israelites. On the one hand, it was the center of religious, political, and social life, a place with no single parallel in our society. But the temple was so much more than that. The temple was envisioned by David and later built by Solomon as the place to be the permanent residence of the very presence of God. The temple was where God was, and now these people had no access to that place. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion, writes the psalmist. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? When the people were carried to Babylon, they were carried away from God. And yet, when Ezekiel was among the exiles by the rivers of Babylon, the Lord appeared to Ezekiel. In the first chapter, just before the text we read today, Ezekiel describes vividly the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Here in Babylon, where the people should be cut off from the presence of God, the Lord appears to Ezekiel. And when God appears, the glory of the Lord is so magnificent that Ezekiel can only describe it, its likeness, through a series of similes. And when he saw it, he fell on his face. The only response to the glory of God appearing here in exile was to fling himself on the ground. And he heard the voice of someone speaking. God told him to stand up. And the Spirit, the breath of God, picked him up and set him on his feet to listen. And Ezekiel listened to God's words, and Ezekiel became the voice of God to the people in Israel, to the exiles, the people of God in exile. As it turns out, God was present not just in the temple, but wherever God's people were, even in exile. We've all, I'm sure, had times when we felt torn away from the presence of God. As I describe the onslaught and eventual destruction of Jerusalem, I can't get images I've seen of Mexico Beach and Panama City this week, of the destruction throughout the Southeast that people are facing from Hurricane Michael. And my heart aches for the people whose lives, whose communities, whose homes have been destroyed. Can God speak here? On top of that, we're living in a time when we are sharply divided along party lines, and hateful words directed at people or about people, they just seem to flow so easily through our minds, through our mouths, through our keyboards. Have we left the presence of God behind? Can we hear God's voice in this place? Maybe your exile was the time you got that dreaded call that your cousin was driving home late at night and lost control of the car. Or maybe it was when the doctor said mom's cancer had spread and they weren't going to be able to operate. Maybe your exile is just when you've had so many projects and commitments for yourself and your family that if God was going to speak, it better be quick because you've got a meeting to get to. Is God present in these times? Or have we left the temple of God where God abides behind? When we are in exile, does God go with us? Can we hear the voice of God? If Ezekiel's story has anything to say to us today, the answer is yes. Yes, we can hear the voice of God today. So this begs the question of how. How does God speak to us today? In the Bible, we read of people like Ezekiel who hear directly from God. Often it's through dreams or through visions. Did God stop speaking this way in biblical times? The short answer is, of course not. God still speaks directly to us. I know that plenty of people, including many of you, hear directly from God. Maybe that's words that you hear. Maybe that is God giving you the words that you need to hear or you need to say in a certain situation. Or maybe it's not words at all. I'm in seminary right now for a lot of reasons, but not least of which is that 3 years ago, on a Sunday evening, I was driving from Hayesville back down to Atlanta. And I was about at that place between Blairsville and Blue Ridge that you kind of come around a curve and the horizon opens up and you can see the mountains. And God told me in no uncertain terms, yet without using words, that all these conversations that I'd been having in my head and with people about seminary were no longer hypothetical. Just as God's Spirit stood Ezekiel up to listen, the Holy Spirit continues to move in each of us, enabling us to hear the voice of God. I know on that Sunday evening that the Holy Spirit was in my car. I know that God was speaking to me. And now we could argue that Ezekiel was a prophet, and as such, he had a special gift to hear the voice of God. And Ezekiel definitely was a prophet. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Throughout his prophetic career, he functions as the voice of God to the people in exile. But at the same time, Ezekiel is all of us. When God addresses Ezekiel in this text and throughout the book of Ezekiel, God calls Ezekiel mortal. It's a phrase that's used over 90 times in the book of Ezekiel. And that English translation does a good job of capturing the distinction between the human Ezekiel and the other characters throughout the book who are operating in the divine realm. But there's also more nuance there. The Hebrew phrase is Ben Adam. It could literally be translated son of man, or more generally, child of humanity. One commentator notes that this language suggests that when Ezekiel hears the voice of God, Ezekiel is functioning as sort of a representative or designate for our whole species. So when Ezekiel in exile hears the voice of God, we know that God speaks to all of us, that God is with us. Can you hear God speaking? So Ezekiel was also a prophet, and this raises a whole new challenge for us as listeners today. God gave Ezekiel a word to share and sent him to the people of Israel. Now, interestingly, this is the same construction that we just talked about. Here it's Ben Yisrael, the descendants, the people, the sons of Israel. And it's a phrase that harkens back to a time when all 12 tribes were united. All of the people of Israel. So God gives Ezekiel a word and sends him to all of the people, whether they hear or refuse to hear. God says they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. So God described the people of Israel as a nation of rebels. A few verses later, God calls them, or God says that they have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Surely that's not us we're talking about. When a prophet is among us, do we hear or do we refuse to hear? Are there prophets among us today? Absolutely there are prophets in our midst today. I posed this question on Facebook this week. Some of you may have happened to see it. I asked who the prophetic voices of the modern time are. A consensus is that Martin Luther King Jr. is indeed a prophet of the 20th century, and I think that his prophetic words are still speaking to us even today. You also named pastors you know and have known from this very church as prophetic voices. Again, I agree. The Bible dictionary I was reading this week about prophets identified a common thread among prophets throughout the Bible is that they were individuals who worked at the intersection of the world of the human and the world of the divine. The people that you all named as prophets do that. They fit that definition. And I imagine that is why you thought to name them as prophets. Prophets, they're not just fortune tellers or magicians, although Elijah was definitely into pyrotechnics, and if we keep reading in Ezekiel had a flair for the theatrical. But that's not what defines them as prophets. Prophets live at the intersection of the human and divine realms. They see truth in the world, and they see truth in God's word, and they speak that truth. God has prophets among us. Do we know who they are? Are we listening to them, or are we sending them shaking dust off of their feet? Can you hear God speaking? What today's scripture is telling me to do is to listen. And maybe you're getting that same message. Listening is hard work. Luckily, just as with Ezekiel, when the Spirit of God lifted Ezekiel up to hear, the Holy Spirit opens our ears to hear when God speaks. This is why we pray a prayer of illumination every week before we read the scripture, is so that we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, to open our ears, that we can hear God's words. And you know, we hear God's voice in a whole bunch of ways all of the time. We hear God's words in scripture. We hear God's words in sermon, through friends and family who are speaking truth into our lives, through nature, through those nudges that you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. But there's also a whole bunch of other noise, a whole bunch of other voices who are trying to drown out the voice of God. And it's sometimes hard to pick out the voice of God amid all of that. Often we aren't even aware of the distractions. It's like when you think you're in a quiet house, and then the power goes out, and the refrigerator stops humming, the air conditioner stops running, and then you can finally hear the sounds that the house itself has been making all along. So, today I hope you will listen for God's voice. In a minute, I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to sit down, and we will be left in the silence to listen. I can't command God to speak directly to you right in this very moment, but I can assure you that God is with you. So keep listening. Throughout this time, throughout this day, throughout this week, keep listening, no matter how distant God feels. God stays with God's people. God is with you, and God speaks. Maybe when you open up your ears, you'll hear a word from God. Maybe you'll remember the words of a prophet, ancient or new, or of a pastor or a friend, or you'll remember that gentle tugging on your heart. And in that, you'll hear God speaking to you today. Listen, church. Can you hear God speaking?